We are just hours away from the historic summit between North Korea and the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I feel that Kim Jong-un wants to do something great for his people, and he has that opportunity, and he won't have that opportunity again. It's never going to be there again. So it's a one-time shot, and I think it's going to work out very well. And that's why I feel positive, because it makes so much sense.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
President Trump is going into this meeting with confidence, a positive attitude, and eagerness for real progress. He has made it clear that if Kim Jong-un denuclearizes, there is a brighter future for North Korea. Tomorrow, we will get our clearest indication to date of whether Chairman Kim Jong-un truly shares this vision.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, tonight, President Trump is set to meet with Kim Jong-un in Singapore for the historic summit. Both delegations have arrived, as you've seen on the news this weekend. Opening meeting is set for 9 a.m. local time. This initial meeting will be a private one-on-one meeting with the President of the United States and Kim Jong-un and translators. That's it. There'll be no other advisors there. Their closest advisors, both to Kim Jong-un and to President Trump, will join afterwards. President Trump will be joined by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton. This is the first time a sitting president of the United States has met with the leader of North Korea. Now, for the United States, the goal is very, very clear. It's called CVID, Complete Verifiable Irreversible Denuclearization. Let me say it again. Complete Verifiable Irreversible Denuclearization. On June 10th, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo confirmed that plan of CVID in a tweet. He said, early pre-brief with my State Department team, Ambassador Kim meets with hashtag DPRK today. We remain committed to complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. He echoed his position in his statements this morning, said the only outcome the United States will accept is the complete and verifiable and irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now, we are going to take your calls, and we're going to be joined by two experts who have served in the Korean Peninsula in the military, Colonel Skip Ash and Colonel Wes Smith. But we also want to hear from those of you, men and women, that may have served in Korea or had relatives that have served in Korea in your military career. And our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The president said this is a one-time shot. Skip, what's your reaction to that?
I think he's exactly right. He needs to make sure that the North Koreans are on notice, that they have one time and one time only to be able to come forward, to make their presentations, to agree in to this end, however we achieve it. And if they don't do that, then that's off the table and they will have lost the chance.
We're going to talk about what complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization means. But Colonel Smith, when I look at the situation, it seems to me that our position is quite clear here.
It is clear. And for President Trump, to his credit, it is something of an unprecedented position. He's going to talk for the first time, a sitting president talks with the president or the leader of North Korea, but it is a one-time shot. He has said that if they do not agree to it, he's willing to walk away. We're not going to really ease anything in the way of sanctions much until there is some movement on their part. All of that, Jay, has not been done before.
Interestingly also, the White House has issued this statement just moments ago. The discussions between the United States and North Korea are ongoing and have moved quickly, more quickly than expected. Now, they will be actually, their meeting, although it'll be morning their time in Singapore, it is going to be this evening around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock our time. That doesn't mean there's going to be a briefing tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Obviously, we're following all of this for you. We're going to give you an analysis of what this CVID, Complete Verifiable Irreversible Denuclearization, actually means. And we want to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want your calls, especially if you've served in the arena of the Korean Peninsula. Also, your concerns and issues about the importance of this. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, so our policy on North Korea, to have what would be a deal on North Korea, requires the complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization of North Korea. I want to start with what we're talking about when we say complete. What are we talking about, Wes, when we talk about complete as part of this CVID? What are we talking about?
Right. It is complex, and it's something that cannot be done quickly, but it can be done. You have to eliminate the large industrial manufacturing process where they actually create and enrich plutonium, uranium, tritium.
Yep.
Then you have to go and you have to either close or repurpose the factories where all the parts are made for the bombs and missiles. Then you have the really delicate task of disassembling the warheads that they have. And that is something that is very tricky, very complicated. Then you have to decide what you're going to do with the leftover nuclear material from those warheads. And then, of course, permanently closing their testing complexes. They closed one of those recently. And then closing the labs and the other research and development facilities. And then finally, what do you do with the brains behind this? What do you do with the North Korean nuclear scientists? You know, at the end of World War II, we were faced with a similar situation with German scientists. And most of them were brought to the West where they continued to work for Great Britain or the United States or something. So, but the question is, if it's going to be irreversible, you know, what do you do with that knowledge, that brain power? But to answer your question, all of these steps
are part of complete.
Part of complete, and it is a process.
Okay, so Skip, I'm going to take calls in a moment here at 800-684-3110. But Skip, from your perspective, Wes just gave a pretty thorough account of complete. But you've served on the peninsula, as has Wes. Getting a complete denuclearization, as Wes said, is a process with multi-steps here.
Absolutely. First of all, we have to have them tell us what exactly they have. You know, we have intelligence on, and we've identified certain amounts of things, but we need to have them come clean and tell us everything they have, because until you know that, you really can't get this whole idea of having a complete doing away with our nuclearization. We also have to come at some point in time to recognize on this irreversible end of it that you can't unlearn what you already know. So the knowledge base will be there. So now we have to figure out, as Wes said, what do we do with those people who are intimately involved in the developing of the process and developing the weapons and doing that? Because we discovered after the Soviet Union fell that some of the Russian scientists then went and served in Iran, they went and served in North Korea, and they helped give these other nations a step, you know, a big jump forward, a leap forward in their development. So there are a lot of moving parts here, And what we have to do is we have to nail them down and make sure those that we can't absolutely confirm that we have means and place so that if they start moving materials around, we can identify them during movement, or if we have access to labs or whatever, we can see what they're doing and we can see that they're not doing something against the purposes. Just look at what's happened with our agreement with Iran. And then we have all those documents that the Israelis captured that showed that they were lying to us all along. We have to expect that from the North Koreans as well.
When the United States' position is that denuclearization means that North Korea gives up all of its nuclear weapons programs and its actual weapons completely, verifiably, and irreversibly, not any kind of partial removal. All right, Dion is calling from South Korea. One thing I love about being able to be on this broadcast and using all the social media platforms we can use in addition to our terrestrial radio and satellite radio, we can talk to people from all, and we do talk to people from all over the world. Dion, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. You're calling from South Korea?
Yeah, I am. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, but I really wanted to get on to ask a question about the human rights issue in relation to these talks that's going on, because there's a great deal of concern here in South Korea as well as, I'm sure, North Korea, too, as far as the way that people have been treated in the North and the concentration camps, all of that, you know, and the persecution of the Christians. Is that something that's going to be brought out at this summit? And not, I know that the denuclearization is a very important issue for the United States, but the people of this country and the potential for the reunification of this country really is concerned about the human rights issue.
So look, the human rights issue is a huge issue, and it's an issue that, you know, we've been involved in because we represent people that have been held captive all over the world. So we know how important this is. This is a multi-tasks approach. That while the focus of the summit is on denuclearization, there are a whole host of pre-meetings that are already going on right now or have been going on there over the weekend. And there's been pre-meetings with Mike Pompeo. And you talk about the human rights issue. We know it's been raised because we saw the release of three Americans. The Japanese Prime Minister Abe was with the president, and he said that they have Japanese citizens that are being held in North Korea that they want released. And I'm quite convinced that these human rights issues will be coming up as part of these discussions, whether it's at the main meeting, whether it's at side meetings, whether it's before. I don't know that. But there's no question that the issue of human rights and the abuse that's taking place in North Korea will be part of this overall discussion. It may not be what the president is speaking with Kim Jong-un about, or maybe it is. He got the release. Look, I mean, Mike Pompeo, under the president's auspices and leadership, was able to secure the release of three Americans. The Japanese have made it clear that they've got Japanese citizens being held. So I think it's fair to say that, this will come up as an issue, the human rights issue.
I think it will. There have been a number of Japanese as well as South Korean citizens that have been abducted essentially by North Korea. There are an estimated 200,000 North Koreans in their gulags around the country, their political prison camps. I think at some point that has to come up. One other thing, Jay, that we have not mentioned is that there are 5,000 U.S. service members who died in the Korean War who are buried in North Korea. The return of those remains is very important.
Yeah, it sure is. So this all goes into, Skip, this is a multilateral, well, it's a really a bilateral discussion, but it's multi-topic.
Absolutely. And all these issues are important issues. There's going to be some prioritization, I'm sure, by the administration. But I know you've already mentioned that we've gotten three U.S. citizens back. The Japanese are way up there also in trying to get their citizens back. So I think as we talk about human rights, it's probably going to be more human rights with respect to nations outside of North Korea at the beginning. And once you start to chip away there, then you open the conversation, say, you know, what about internally? But I think it's going to be external first. But you're right, there are so many moving parts here that you have to tie together. There has to be a focus at some point in time on an issue at a time or a couple issues at a time. Otherwise, we'll get nowhere. If you have too many issues, you'll get nothing. So the issue, I think, right now is going to be primarily in the denuclearization. And from there, that can spin off with confidence building measures and things like that. And I think it will spread out over time, assuming that we make the first move, assuming that this conference doesn't fail at the outset.
Yeah, the president said he's going to know pretty quick into this how serious Kim Jong-un is. Now, I will say this, the topic of denuclearization, we know what we want in the United States. We view denuclearization, and this is, I think, most of the world does, as the complete verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of North Korea. That doesn't necessarily mean, and this is where the negotiating comes in, and we're not going to, I mean, that is our policy, and that is not going to budge. But you raised this in your policy analysis, Colonel Smith West, and that is that what Kim Jong-un means by denuclearization?
Right, and Secretary of State Pompeo has stated that he's been very clear with Leader Kim that this is what we mean by it. However, you know, there is the possibility that what Kim Jong-un means by this is that we denuclearize the peninsula by removing the protective umbrella that we've had in place since 1953 for Japan and South Korea.
That would not be satisfactory, correct?
No. That would mean we would move our bombers out of South Korea and Okinawa that are capable of carrying nuclear weapons, that we remove our nuclear submarines off the coast of the Korean Peninsula. Not going to happen.
No way.
Other thing that Kim might try to do as far as quasi-denuclearization is to say, look, we won't build any more bombs, but let us keep what we have. And again, that is a non-starter.
All right, let me play what Mike Pompeo said. This is number seven. About this whole issue of denuclearization.
North Korea has previously confirmed to us its willingness to denuclearize, and we are eager to see if those words prove sincere. The fact that our two leaders are sitting down face to face is a sign of the enormous potential to accomplish something that will immensely benefit both of our peoples and the entire world.
Now, we're expecting, and I think it's clear that this is going to be a process, and I'll play that bite when we come back from the break. This is a process. Now, we will get... they're going to meet tonight, so there is a possibility that sometime late tonight or this morning we will have some news. But tomorrow morning there's a press availability that the president is going to participate in at 7 or 8 a.m., I think, is the time for that. And that'll give us a better analysis. By the time we're on the air tomorrow, we'll be able to give you analysis of what happened. But you need to understand that this is a process. This is not go in, deal's cut, signed, and you walk out the door. This is a process. But you have to understand what the goal is. You know, when I take a case to the Supreme Court, or for that matter, any case I'm working on, I say, how do we define victory here? What is the definition of victory? For the United States and for the Korean Peninsula and for the region, and frankly for the world, it's pretty straightforward. It is complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization of North Korea. Really can't be any clearer than that. We're going to take your calls and comments. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Especially want to hear from people that we've already heard from somebody in South Korea, which is great. But if you're in South Korea and listening to us, call us. But also if you've served in the military on the peninsula, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. And concerned citizens, get your views on it as well. Again at 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue, not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about CVID, Complete Verifiable Irreversible Denuclearization of North Korea. That's what the plan is that the United States is going into in the meetings that will take place our time tonight. Let me tell you what the president said. This is bite number one. This was when he left the G7 press conference of what he plans to do in North Korea.
We're going in with a very positive spirit, I think, very well prepared. And by the way, we have worked very well with their people. They have many people right now in Singapore. Our people have been working very, very well with the representatives of North Korea. So we're going in with a very positive attitude, and I think we're going to come out fine. But I've said it many times. Who knows? Who knows? May not work out. It's a good chance it won't work out. There's probably an even better chance that it will take a period of time. It'll be a process.
It's interesting, the comments we're getting. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Catherine on Facebook says she's praying for our president. Diane on Facebook says if all goes well, could peace with North Korea really mean peace for the world? Well, it would take out, Skip, a major threat. Not the only threat. You still got Iran there. But that, I think, is about to change. But this would be a big threat. Denuclearization of Iran would be Korea would be a big step in the right direction.
It would, because I think if we get to the point where they agree to denuclearize, they have also agreed to other things, and then we have agreed in some ways to assist them to bring their country along, and it's no longer be a basket case economically. So I think it would be a give and take at some point, but the president has to stand fast and say, until we see concrete action on your part, we're not yielding anything. Because in the past, remember, we used to have people on site. We used to have cameras looking at these locations under Kim Jong-un's father. And then they kicked them all out and then further developed their nuclear program. So the merely having these agreements, we have to have them concrete and we have to have them solid. And we have to know they're in operation before we begin to grant any concessions.
So let me go to the phones here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Sheila is calling from California on line 4. And again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Sheila, go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I have a teaching background, and yep. My family has served in North Korea. And they dropped bombs, and they did this and that, kind of things people do in war. And as far as culture and moving people to make decisions, it's all very true. We're going to have many technological aspects of denuclearization. It will be a lifelong process and a highly worthwhile process. You know, if we all want to live, it's only a matter of time before one of these nations really does try to start blowing people up. So anyway, I admire, you know, Donald Trump for taking this on. Now, a lot of people who didn't like him to begin with, and I do like him, so I'm trying to get over that bias myself. But anyway, a lot of people who didn't like him said, oh, he's leading us to war. He's leading us for war. Back to the culture bit, and my fathers and stuff had served. The way you move somebody in any direction, you got to meet them where they're at. So Donald Trump is giving them respect by what he's doing. He's not trying to antagonize them or drive them to war or anything like that.
Well, he's also he's looking at the failed the other policies and the other processes didn't work. I mean, and that's just fact. And I mean, if you looked at what was tried under Republicans and Democrats, Wes, the process didn't result in complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization. And nothing like that. It would be false starts. That's being kind to say false starts.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be very kind. Yeah, the president is unconventional in his approach. On the one hand, he actually threatened Kim Jong-un and, you know, threatened fire and fury if they tried to...
The likes of which you've never seen.
Yes. But on the other hand, he is the only sitting president who has agreed to sit down with the leader of North Korea. And the caller's right. That is showing some deference and respect, which in any negotiation, even with your arch enemies... you have to begin at the point of sitting down together, and that implies deference and respect. That does not mean that you will be played necessarily. The thing to also realize, and I appreciated the president's word of caution, and that is Korea has actually agreed several times to denuclearize. The real sticking point was verification. And as Skip said, at the point of verification, they begin to kick out inspectors and take out the cameras. And so we have actually been at the point of them agreeing to this. The real test will be, will they let us verify?
All right, so let me go to that, Skip. And again, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Skip, you have been one of the ones ringing caution here. Hopeful, but cautious.
Yeah, it's one of these things. Remember President Reagan said, trust but verify. I'm not sure we even trust these people, but we definitely have to verify. We have to have enough trust that we take them at their word initially and let them allow them the opportunity to prove them their word by actions. But we cannot just do like we did in the Iran thing where they could check themselves and say, oh, we're okay. In this case, it has to be somebody, it has to be a group, it has to be either us or people we trust that goes in there and will honestly report what's happening and will not tolerate any attempts by the North Koreans to subvert the checks. And I think that's what we need to do. And if we can get that first stage going and we have actual checks in place that are meaningful, then I think we can move forward. But we have to have those in place before we begin to make any lessening of the sanctions or anything else. They need to know there's a price to pay for not cooperating with us.
We also need to explain to everybody, this is we think this is a phased process. We don't think this is tomorrow morning or tonight we're going to get an announcement that it's all resolved. That would be wonderful, but that's not realistic. So the president has said that this is a process. Mike Pompeo has said this is a process. The question will be, and we're going to get in the second half, what that process would look like. Let me do this. Let me grab one call here. Ruth Ann calling from Sacramento, California. Hi, Ruth Ann. You've been holding for a little bit there. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
I hope this isn't a stupid question, but I feel kind of ignorant. I'm all for these crazy people not having nuclear weapons.
Yep.
But we in America have nuclear weapons,
yes.
And how can we tell other countries they can't?
So you just said it. You used the words crazy. I would call them rogue regimes. We have nuclear deterrence. Were part of the Cold War. Assured nuclear destruction was basically the kind of the way that was played out. And while there are a lot of people that would like to not see nuclear weapons utilized at all or even available, the fact is world powers have them. But you don't want a world power that's not stable having them. And I think that's really the question. So Ruth Ann, in a sense, that's a really good question.
It is. It's not a stupid question at all. We can't help, that nations have nuclear weapons. Ideally, we didn't want anyone to have them except us, and we were never going to use them again. And then, of course, the Soviet Union got them, and then Pakistan and India, and on and on and on. But you try to contain nuclear weapons, what is called combating nuclear proliferation, and at the same time, you definitely don't want people who are unstable, who make threats against their neighbors to have nuclear weapons. And so there's a difference between someone like the United States having a weapon and someone like Iran or North Korea.
Yeah, I think Wes, Skip, do you agree?
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be clear on this, is we don't live in the perfect world. I mean, that's the reality. All right, we're taking a break. We're going to be here for 30 more minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. You can join hundreds, maybe thousands of people over there. You could also go, of course, to Facebook and Periscope. Thousands of people there watching us. And, of course, SiriusXM. And a number of stations now carry the full hour of the broadcast. We're going to go into what the process looks like when we come back from the break. And, again, I want to take your calls. By the way, anybody that gets on air today, we're going to send you a copy of our book, Jerusalem, which is out tomorrow at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But we'll send you a signed copy of it if you have a comment or a question that you want to get on air. And you get on air, we're going to send you the book. So, again, we encourage you to call us at 1-800-684-3110. Also, lots of action over the weekend in Israel. ACLJ teams activated there. Your support of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org allows us to work on issues literally around the globe. That's ACLJ.org. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
All right, I don't want to get the days confused because they're about 13 hours ahead. But here's what's going to happen tonight in the United States. This evening, President Trump is set to meet with Kim Jong-un in Singapore for the historic summit. Both delegations have arrived. The opening meetings are already taking place. The White House said the discussions between the United States and North Korea are ongoing and have moved more quickly than expected. That's a good sign. President Trump will meet with Korean leader Kim Jong-un about probably around 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock tonight Eastern time. I don't know if there'll be reports from that tonight. We're going to stay up late to watch it and see what happens. There is going to be a press briefer in 7 a.m. in the morning, our time. So we'll have that for you on the broadcast tomorrow. But it's going well, but let me tell you what the process is. For the United States, it's a very clear and straight goal. The main goal here is the complete, it's called CVID, complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization. That is the goal, and frankly, there is nothing in between the goal. There's no inroad. There's no halfway point here. It is complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization. It is not trust but verify.
Exactly, exactly. And we do not want to make the mistakes of the past 30 or 40 years. It has to be all of those things. It has to be complete, no nuclear weapons left. It has to be verifiable. That's where we have been stuck with North Korea before, and they've walked away from the table. And it has to be something that that is complete, you know, complete, verifiable, irreversible. They can't go back and remanufacture the weapons later on. It is very, very clear to them. We'll see how clear they want to be with us about their intentions.
Yeah. So let me explain this to you. And this is something I think Chris, I want to get Skip to really comment on. The fact is, this is a really big meeting. And there is very clear parameters of what we want to see accomplished. But Skip, at the same time, I think we've got to be clear on this. There is a reality point to this. And that reality point is this is going to be a process.
It is going to be a process. We have the first meeting will be so critical because if the president discerns that they're not serious on the other side, he's going to pull the plug and he's going to walk away and that'll be it. But if they come and they're serious and they appear serious, they are willing to make some of the initial concessions. Remember, it's going to take some time. Assuming the North Koreans agreed to everything, this can't be done overnight. It's going to take time because it takes time to disassemble factories. It takes time to disassemble warheads, all that type of thing. So it's going to take time. So this is going to be a time-phased operation. The issue, though, is whether they're serious. That's going to be determined probably in the first couple hours.
I think we just lost Skip. That does not happen. But I think it was in the first couple hours, we'll be able to determine what the phases are here. Now, one of the things we're concerned about, you brought up a really good point. I wanted to get into this, Wes. We'll do it in the next segment. But I thought it was a really helpful point in your policy analysis this morning. You said, of course, the details have to be worked out, but the U.S. must not ease sanctions or give aid based on mere promises. But it is possible for there to be gates or trigger points that, as the North Koreans complete certain tasks in the denuclearization process, aid is given tied strictly and individually to each phase in that agreement. Talk to me about what you're saying there.
Yeah, people have said, well, we will give them nothing until all of their weapons are gone. It is so complicated. This is a complex task, and I think it's unrealistic for us to expect that we will give them nothing until all the weapons are gone, because we're talking about a process of years. So I think a better way to do it, and I think, frankly, if North Korea goes along with this, I think it's the way the administration will do it. You tie easing of sanctions or aid to certain trigger points or gates.
Yep.
And as North Korea complies, you gradually give them something for that compliance.
So it's tied specifically to the act of compliance.
Specifically. It has to be. Okay. Otherwise, we make the same mistake that we've made for years.
Kathy on Facebook writes, will there be a time limit for North Korea to follow through on denuclearization? The answer is going to be yes. Kathy, or Roberta says, I'm not expecting miracles, but I'm praying for a good starting point. South Korea said they are praying for a miracle. They want, this is for their country, for the whole world it's significant, but for that peninsula, this would be miraculous. This would be historic, and this is very, very important. All right, we're going to be back in a moment. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Lines are jammed now, but that doesn't mean they won't open up in a few minutes. They might well. Also, we want to encourage, we got a special video coming up for those watching on Facebook and Periscope, so we encourage you to watch that and continue to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be back with more, including your comments, in just a moment.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
America's policy to be negotiated this evening with Kim Jong-un is clear. It's called CVID, Complete Verifiable Irreversible Denuclearization. That is what the goal is, and there's not an area in between that, Skip. I mean, it's that or nothing.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what we must have in order to and maintain peace in the region. They have threatened to fire nuclear weapons at the west coast of the United States. You know, we can't afford that. And so what we want to do is to make sure they do not have that capability. And in return for that, at some point, we're willing to help them develop as a nation and become a fully functioning nation in the family of nations.
What's interesting is the president addressed this. And when you think this is a one-time shot, that's not just coming from me. Take a listen. This is what the president said, number 13.
I feel that Kim Jong-un wants to do something great for his people, and he has that opportunity. And he won't have that opportunity again. It's never going to be there again. So it's a one-time shot, and I think it's going to work out very well. And that's why I feel positive, because it makes so much sense.
But it's a one-time shot. He's very clear on that, Colonel Smith.
Right. This opportunity will not pass Kim's way again. And the options, if he walks away from this and does not take advantage of what we're offering him as a nation, it will not have a happy ending down the road.
All right, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to Gerard, who's calling from Bowie, Maryland, on line one. Gerard, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
I want you guys to know that I'm so grateful for what you've been doing.
Thanks,
God, for what you've done with helping Jerusalem, Israel, and the like, and our rights here at home. But what I'd like to suggest, and I would like to earnestly hope that, I earnestly hope that I might even get support and seeing this come to pass, but it would be great if our Trump administration would do a sort of a complimentary thing that the previous president did with Iran. I would like to see that pursuant to any North Korea agreement, that there would be a stipulation that every cent with interest be paid back to the United States for all the monies that we've sent them over past administrations under the pretense that there was going to be denuclearization. And also bonus additional funds paid to the family who just lost their son.
Look, I mean, I thought about that one, the Otto situation. You know, it's interesting you say that, Gerard, because you're meeting with a guy, and this is what you've got to put on your brave face here, you got in your negotiating face. This is a guy that allowed an American to be killed in prison, mm-hmm. Kim Jong-un's regime. So you're right about that. And justice was not served there. Now, I'm glad we got the three others out. But I think, look, I think part of the problem or part of the difficulty is it's a country that has no assets. And if we're going to be part of a rebuilding plan, that rebuilding plan has to take into account that you can't just release the sanctions and say go. And that's something what you've been saying. We cannot – let's go through this. We talked about this right before the break, this kind of approach that you're laying out in our as our policy, which is markers where you'd get some kind of relief.
Right. It's unrealistic to expect that the years-long process that North Korea will have to undertake to denuclearize, that we're giving them nothing until all of that is done. So there has to be gates along the way, trigger points. And that as North Korea passes through that gate, we give them certain aid or we release a sanction tied specifically to that denuclearization task. We can't simply lift sanctions, give them aid based on mere promises. It has to be actions on the part of the North Koreans. And I think, Jay, the place for those actions to start more than likely will be, will they identify every nuclear-related site in country, and will they allow international inspectors to go there and to stay there? That's really the beginning of the groundwork.
Yeah, so these are the markers, Skip, along the way. You served, you were on the DMZ as well. I mean, you know the tension level. Describe for folks what that tension level's been like where you were stationed.
Well, I served over in Korea twice, and I was in the 2nd Infantry Division, which was right along the DMZ twice. And we were within artillery range of the North the entire time I was there. And there were a couple times when I served there when there were reported North Korean agents coming through the DMZ to the South. So it gets pretty tense at those moments. And I also, when I was stationed there the first time, we had a North Korean agent killed right outside our camp, making a map of the camp for artillery purposes for the North. So it can get very, very tense. So a peace treaty would also be very nice as a result of this to stop the war, to have an actual peace treaty since the Korean War, the violence supposedly stopped back in the early 50s.
Yep.
But I'll tell you this, there is some tension there, and if we can reduce that tension, that's fine. But I think Wes is exactly right. What we need to do is we need to know where their nuclear weapons are. We need to know where the nuclear facilities are. We may have some that we have identified that they don't tell us, and that will be some indication of how serious they are in dealing with us, and those types of things have to be followed up on. Once we know those things, then we can make a realization, we can determine whether they are actually serious, and then we can tell them what we need to move forward.
Debbie on Facebook wrote an interesting comment. She said, Jay, how do you think the mainstream media will approach the coverage of the summit once it's over, especially if it's a win for the U.S.? Debbie, it's hard for me to believe, although, listen, I see it. It's hard for me to believe that anybody's hoping this is not successful. I mean, who in the world, and they may say, oh, this is unorthodox and the approach it's taken has never been done before. But of course, the other approaches that have been taken did not work. But why in the world would anyone in any mainstream media or anyone else want this not to succeed? Now, you could put on the political hat and say, well, they don't want the president to have a win. But my goodness, this is for my children and my grandchildren, really for my grandchildren, to live in a world where North Korea doesn't have a nuclear weapon. You should get a Nobel Peace Prize for that. Not worry about what the mainstream media is going to say or not say. We'll find out tonight. I mean, it's hard for me to believe. I hope this is not the case, Wes, that they are hoping for failure.
I think some of them are.
I can't. It's hard for me to. I don't even want to go there. But go ahead.
It is hard to imagine because it is so unpatriotic. It is so un-American to hope that with something as serious as the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, that anyone would hope the president fails just for their own personal grudge and revenge against the president. There are people out there like that. I hope they are few in number.
I do too. Jamal is calling from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, on line 3. Jamal, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Glad to talk to you. I had a question. It's kind of lengthy, so I'll try to condense
sure.
it. Once they are, let's say the meetings go through, they denuclearize. But then once everything's calm, once everything's peaceful, they don't have that big spotlight on them anymore. Who's to say that they won't still develop something down the road much later?
No, listen, great question. And that's why our approach, and I will say it again, is complete, verifiable, and irreversible. So irreversible denuclearization, which means as part of this, there could be, will be, expert stationed there forever. Yes. I mean, that'll just be part of the permanent solution because of exactly that point. So what you're hitting to, Jamal, is the irreversible nature of this, Skip. It's got to be irreversible. It's not going to be a situation where they can go to certain levels like was done in that Iran deal, because then all they have to do is ramp it back up a little higher. That's not going to work here.
That's exactly right. Jamal is right, and that is the irreversible part is the most difficult, because once you have knowledge about how to do this, you can't undo that knowledge. So what we have to do is have a verifiable regime, a verifiability regime, where we have people there constantly watching to see if there's any movement towards renuclearization. And when that happens, then we would have to intervene and we'd have to say no. So all these things have to fit together, and they have to fit together long term.
Wes, you pointed out, and Skip has too, North Korea has agreed to denuclearization before, but each time they reneged. Implementation and verification is what failed previously.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are a very opaque nation. They are very secretive, cut off from the world. And in the past, and I pray that this does not happen this time, and certainly our president is taking a different approach, but in the past, that is where the agreements have fallen apart. They refused to let us verify what they had agreed to.
Yeah. All right, so we've got a lot more to talk about in our last segment of the broadcast coming up. Let me encourage you to do a couple of things as we get ready for a break. Pray for the president. Pray for the whole team that's there, that he'd have the right words and the wisdom to negotiate something that will impact our children and our grandchildren, and us, for that matter, for generations to come, a denuclearized Korean peninsula. So we believe in the power of prayer on this broadcast. I'd encourage you to be praying, as the scriptures say, pray for those in authority. We really need to be doing that. This is really important. Number two, let's remain strong. We're the United States of America. We're going into this strong. We're going to stay strong. This is number three. It's going to be a process. It's not going to be over with in a day. We'll get some announcements, hopefully, even tonight or tomorrow morning, and we'll give you some updates then, obviously. But there's a lot at play here, and there's a lot at stake for the world. If we can eliminate Iran, which I think we are about to eliminate with the president pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, I think that one's going to fall apart. I think Iran's going to fall apart, which is exactly one. If we can then see a denuclearized North Korea, that would be two huge accomplishments for world stability and regional peace, but also world peace. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back. Last segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, if you get on the air, I'm going to give you a copy of our book, Jerusalem, signed. It's out tomorrow on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. You can order it now. Again, the book is Jerusalem. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue, not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
I haven't said it enough already. I'm going to say it again. Complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization. That is the goal. That is the only option. There is nothing in between that. There's no. I'm going to go to Wes and skip really quick on this, but there is no halfway point here.
No. We cannot do what we've done in the past, which is for mere promises, we have given them hundreds of millions of dollars in aid and relieved the sanctions from them. This is a different ball game. We're going about it in a completely different way. And this is a one-shot deal. They can work with us, and it will be a game changer for the North Korean people and for Kim Jong-un, or they can walk away. But it is all or nothing.
And Skip, I mean, there's not a halfway point.
No, in the past, we have been played by the North Koreans. They have promised us everything and given us nothing, and we've given them money in return, which they have just used for their systems that we're now trying to get destroyed, and they've also used to feed their army and to buttress the regime. So now the president's taking a different stance, and he's saying, okay, I've got you where I want you. It's going to continue until you act in a way that is meaningful to the world community, and that is to denuclearize.
All right, let's do this. We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Donna's calling from California on line 5. Hi, Donna.
Hi, thank you for taking my call and for what you do. My question is this. In your opinion, what can our president do to help the other leader trust him, seeing that neither of these countries ever trust each other?
Yeah, it's a great question. Look, if you look at complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization, there's not a lot of level of trust in that relationship. So that's number one. You can't trust them. Now, as far as the United States go, we live up to our ends of the bargains, and we're also the superpower. And I think, Wes, that plays into it as well. So when the trust, I mean, Donna brings up a good point. How do they trust the United States? They have no option.
Exactly.
And, I mean, that's the reality.
Right. And being cognizant of that, one of the things that Mike Pompeo and the president have indicated to Kim Jong-un is that if he will agree to this, they will guarantee not only his personal security, they will guarantee the security of North Korea, which is something almost like a de facto peace treaty that says we will protect you.
Yeah. Also, Senator Lindsey Graham laid out the options very clearly here. Here's what he said.
There are three endings to how the North Korea nuclear missile threat. Peace, where everybody wins. War, where North Korea loses, which would be devastating for the region, but it would end their program. Capitulation by Donald Trump, where he just gives up like every other president. The third one's not going to happen. So if you want to make sure peace prevails, then tell North Korea and China that as a last resort, you would support the use of military force. If you're not willing to do that, we're probably not going to have peace, and you're undercutting the president.
There you have it. I mean, Skip, I don't think you'd say it any clearer than Lindsey Graham did.
No, he said it very clearly. The other thing that we have to keep in mind with respect to this trust is the president has taken a chance, and he has given a concession, and that is he has said, okay, I am the most powerful leader in the world, and I'm willing to meet face-to-face with you. So right in that sense, he's saying, okay, I'm serious about this, and I'm willing to negotiate, but you need to understand who I am and what I have and what I bring to the table.
Exactly. All right, let's go back to the phones. We go 1-800-684-3110. Bruce is calling from Detroit, Michigan. On line 4, Bruce, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. Yep. One is, since it's going to be the complete denuclearization of the peninsula, does that mean that the United States is going to remove their tactical nukes from South Korea?
That's a great question. Wes?
Well, for a long time, the past decade or so, we actually have taken our tactical nukes off the battlefield, but recently some of them have been placed in certain strategic places. I think it's unrealistic to think that we will remove the nuclear umbrella from Japan and South Korea for their protection. In fact, and Skip probably can speak to this better than I, but I don't think we actually have nuclear weapons on South Korea. We just have them close enough by that we can protect them.
Skip?
The last time I checked, that's the correct thing. Plus, we have to understand, with respect to tactical nuclear weapons, we have never used those, and there is some theories, military police believe that we never will, because to release a nuclear weapon for use requires the command authority, the national authority, to give it. And by the time they give it, the reason for using it no longer exists.
Yeah, so that's the practical ramification of it. So let's grab this call, and I've got a general question I want to get. Renee is calling from Atlanta. Hi, Renee.
Hi there.
Hey.
My question is, I'm always about hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. What does the worst-case scenario look like here?
Well, I think the worst-case scenario could be pretty bad. I think the worst-case scenario could be military action in the Korean Peninsula, because we're not going to allow the North Koreans to obtain nuclear weapons. And that prospect of military actions, while I have no question we prevail, will include civilian casualties, because there'll be retaliation going back and forth. But you cannot give Kim Jong-un a nuclear weapon.
Right. It would be devastating. The options are pretty clear. They're black and white. We can bring peace and denuclearization to the peninsula, or we have a war that would actually be short in endurance, but devastating, both in civilian and military casualties.
Skip, is there any way, putting your military analyst hat on, and as a former colonel in the United States Army, if this is not successful, the phased-in approach to denuclearization, what are the options? We sure heard the options from Lindsey Graham. What does that look like?
If we believe that the North at some point in time may fire a nuclear missile at the United States or one of our possessions, I think then the president will make a decision to go and take them out. But he will also make that clear to the Chinese, who do not want a nuclear war in their backyard. And that may also bring pressure from the Chinese on the North Koreans. So I think we need to keep in mind that there are pressures from the Chinese, and this may also cause the Japanese to want to rearm and to create nuclear weapons, and that would really freak out the Chinese. So I think there are a number of things still going on where we can bring pressure to the North Koreans.
What do you think the Chinese role was in getting Kim Jong-un to the table?
I think, he had that secret meeting. He had one public meeting, and then he had a secret meeting, and I think the reaction, he came back and he was more hardcore after the second meeting, and that's when the president called off the meeting immediately. You know, he made that bombastic remark about, going to shoot at the United States. And I think what happened was the Chinese got it wrong too. They misconstrued what the president was saying and who he was. And when he came through that way, I think they both said, okay, this is a different president. We better take him seriously.
You have the same sense, Wes?
I do. There's some ambivalence on the part of China because, you know, they are Korea's backer and protector. And if they give up that role, you know, it changes the dynamics in that part of the world. On the other hand, they do not want even a conventional war on their doorstep. So they have helped us some, but they have some ambivalence about it.
Yeah, here's my view on this. I don't think, none of us want to see military action. So what we need to be seeking is a denuclearized North Korea. And that has to be complete, verifiable, irreversible. So our negotiating posture as far as goal doesn't move. How you get there may move. The goal itself doesn't move. It's a process. Pray for the president. Pray for those in those meetings today. This is going to be a very, very big night and a very big morning tomorrow. We'll have a lot more ahead. We'll be able to give you analysis of this on our broadcast tomorrow, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. All right, that does it for our broadcast today. Let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. We've got an email going out on Israel. We encourage you to do that. Sign up for our social media platforms as well. And don't forget our book, Jerusalem, now available tomorrow, released at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We'll talk to you then.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.